This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So when brand deals did start to come in, I actually didn't do them for, I think it was like a month and a half, 2 months, because I was like, I just like am afraid, not afraid of what the internet's gonna think, but I was like, I don't want to seem too eager to like make money off this experience. And looking back, I'm like, I should have just jumped in. I'm like, screw the haters. Like, and not because of like, you know, needing more money or wanting more money, but more so like, if you, like anybody in the world, I'm always like, if you were thrown into that situation, and you have the opportunity to like make money that would change your financial situation, would change your life, you should do it.
Welcome to The Real Real, where we go behind the highlight reel and go into the unfiltered. I'm your host, Natalie Barbu, and let's get into it.
Hello, Susie. Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad to be here. Really excited.
Me too.
Yeah, it's a rainy day in LA, so it's not this background. So it was definitely like a struggle to get out of bed this morning and to come over, but I'm glad that we're here and recording bright and early.
Me too. Honestly, the rain in LA has been kind of like the vibe lately.
That's what I've heard, that it's been raining a lot here, but it's like nice since you guys always have sun. So
I know, but I moved here like a year ago to sublease and I didn't have a car because it was just sublease. So I was like, let me just test out LA. And it was the same weather. And I was like, what have I done? But the rest of the year, it's fine. But I, for some reason, this time of year, it gets super rainy and gloomy.
Yeah. Cause you're from the East Coast, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Virginia.
Virginia. I'm from North Carolina.
Okay.
So pretty close.
Neighbors.
Yeah. And then now I live in Miami, but I feel like that was probably a big change from going from like Virginia to LA. Were you always in Virginia?
No, I kind of bopped around. So I went to school, like I went to college in St. Louis, and then I went to Japan for a few years to work. And then I came home, not just before the pandemic, but a little bit before the pandemic, was planning to be there for like a year max. And then I actually purchased a ticket to go to New York City to kind of pursue film, video, like entertainment, theater, like all of it. I just loved the production world, and COVID happened. So I stayed in Virginia for like 3 more years, and I moved, like I pretty much stayed there until I moved here.
So why were you in Japan?
I worked at Tokyo Disneyland in their entertainment department.
Hey, so cool.
So fun.
That's a culture shock, I feel like. Yes, from the US.
Honestly, yeah, like it's crazy because I kind of feel like moving to Japan was so exciting and secure. Like I had a like stable job. I had an apartment set up. Like I had, it just felt like way more secure than moving to LA. So like, even though it was definitely a culture shock, I think that I'm very adaptable as a person. So like when I moved there, I was like, oh my gosh, like I love different cultures and experiences. And like, I really wanted to like do my best to like accommodate the Japanese culture versus being like, oh, I'm American and this is how I do things. So like, I actually had a pretty like easy transition into Japanese culture, considering I compare it to like being in LA, and I'm like, oh, LA's definitely been a harder journey for me, I think. Like, I just think it's been a lot less, there's like less stability. You know, like I don't have a 9-to-5 that's like, I know I'm getting a paycheck every week. It's like, I'm out here like hustling, grinding, and like trying to make things happen for myself. Where in Japan, it was like just stability.
Right. And when you went back home and you went to Virginia, were you doing full-time like photography and video? Or I feel like that probably shut down also because of COVID.
Yes. So it was actually like a weird phase. But like when I was in Japan, I got certified to teach English as a foreign language. So I was doing that online, kind of like I was doing it in the middle of the night. So I was teaching students and like in Asia. So I was kind of in this weird transition period and I didn't think I was going to stay in Virginia. And then when everything happened, I ended up staying. I got a marketing job, like a pharmaceutical marketing job, like a 9-to-5, like classic traditional job. And I was working that. So I stayed there for like 2.5 years doing marketing, which now I'm so grateful for because it's made me a better like business person because I wouldn't, I'm like, I've always been the creative, like spontaneous person, but I've never had like the attention to detail and even just like certain programs like on the computer where it's like in school, I studied film. So like I didn't have like any business background or knowledge. So like those 2.5 years doing marketing really did like help me when I started doing my business, which I just started doing on the side. Like I always was doing photography for fun, but I would never charge people because I just felt like, I was like, oh, I'm not like professional. Like I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. So kind of during that transition period where it was like a year of just taking photos of people, I did a wedding for free, which was like,
that's crazy.
So much work. And I realized after doing it for free, I was like, I will never do that again. Even though it was a learning experience, I was like, that was like 75 hours of work that I put into like the editing and the whole process.
And the pressure.
And the pressure. And the day of, like, it was so much work that I was like, even if I don't know what I'm doing yet, like I won't do that for free. So then I started doing them cheap, like really cheap, like $500 or something. And at the time I would like feel bad to be like ask for $500 from somebody. Cause to me, $500 would be a lot of money at the time. Yeah. Like I was like, $500 is so much. But now it's like, when you realize that if you're really going to make a living being mm-hmm. a videographer, like you have to charge a living wage.
Yeah.
And, but that was a tricky thing to get over. I think as women too, like, statistically and historically we like ask for less mm-hmm. because I don't know why, but it's just like it was a growing experience for me because I was like, no, I like have to charge my worth and for my time.
Yeah. So during COVID, were you like starting to charge at that time and like starting to do it full time, or mm-hmm. what was kind of like on top of doing, you know, English marketing. As a second language and then marketing? Like, were you kind of juggling all of those things at one point?
I was. I dropped the English teaching at some point. I really did that for, you know, 6 months or something. And it was a good skill to have, like, even for COVID times. Like, even looking back, I'm like, that would be such a good, like, side hustle for people that need it because it is good money. But then, yeah, I was doing the marketing. And then I just started, like, even one of my managers at work, like, hired me to do her family photos. And I wasn't really, like, mm-hmm. a photographer, but I was like, I can do that. I know how to run a camera, so I can like do that. And I felt like I just didn't really have like a style, and it's still something I'm developing, but I feel like at the time I would charge like $50 to like take family photos mm-hmm. or whatever. And like, I was probably losing money based on how I was like charging people, but I was gaining experience and getting more comfortable with like the process of like accepting payment for something that has always just been like a passion. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was like definitely probably like a year there where I started to charge, but it was never like a living wage.
Yeah.
And then it was 2021 when I like got my LLC, got my business license, and then officially like left my corporate job at the beginning of the year and started like doing my business. I say full time, but then I like got a waitressing job and was working gigs and stuff.
Yeah, but still, that's how so many people start. I mean, mm-hmm. you have to, you know, it has to start somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think it's really cool that you're very adaptable, like you were saying, and like mm-hmm. trying like many hats, you know, you're kind of chasing your interests. I feel like it's not like you're stuck in one thing. At what point in this timeline are you applying then for the show, for The Bachelor? And did you think that that was something that was like gonna change your life, or was it something where you're like, eh, I might as well just like apply and try this and like add something new to do, you know?
Yeah. So when I came, it actually started like way before I ever went on. So when I came home from Japan, my girlfriends from my hometown, they're all Bachelor fans, and they've been Bachelor fans like forever. Like they know the people, like the OGs. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I still like haven't gone on the show. I'm like, I'll meet people and be like, oh my God, that was like the first Bachelor or the first Bachelorette. And I'm like, my friends would freak out right now if they knew I was with you. But I didn't have the context that they did. So when I came home from Japan, I had not been dating. Like I went on 2 or 3 dates the whole time I was there, which was a little over 2 years. Mm-hmm. So they were like, you are very single. Colton Underwood, who was becoming the Bachelor at the time, they were like, supposedly they were saying like, he's such a nice guy. Like he's America's sweetheart. Like I actually think that you would be a good fit for somebody like that because he is like such a nice person. Mm-hmm. And I was so against it at first. And then they were like showing me him and they were showing me like so much about him. And like, it really was more so that they thought he was like a nice guy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? Like, okay, let's do it. So they like submitted my application via mail, which is like so the old school way.
Oh, well, yeah.
So by the time it got to LA and the producers like went through it, it was too late. So I never heard anything. until the next year when it was Peter's season.
Okay.
And they called me, but I had a boyfriend. So I was like, this is so, to me, I was like, this is so funny. And so I was like, well, I want to watch now. So I started watching. I watched Colton's season and then I watched Peter's season. And then I was like, okay, now I'm a fan. And yeah. I was like really flattered that they wanted to even talk to me about being on it. So I think I must have like been on some kind of like casting list or something. Yeah. They probably have people that they just like keep contacting throughout the years. But like I had a boyfriend when they contacted me. And then the first year the packet missed, you know, production. So like I felt, it kind of felt like each year they would like follow up with me and be like, hey, like we're casting. And I just always had something. Like I went to Miss USA one year and I was like, I'm pursuing a goal right now. Like I want to go to try this. So I didn't do The Bachelor. But the year that I went on, they just contacted me and I was like, hey, like I'm kind of seeing somebody right now, but thank you so much. Found out that guy was cheating on me. The next day I contacted casting. I was like, hello, like my circumstances have changed. Are you guys still casting? And then like the next day they had me on a Skype call. And then 2 days later I was like meeting with the producers. Like it happened so quick. And then within like a month and a half, I was like on the show.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So it was like right before filming started.
Right before. Yeah. It was like the summer. I remember it was the summer when I kind of found out that that guy wasn't being loyal to me. And I remember looking back and being like, this is so crazy. Like, because it is an opportunity that changed my life. And it happened so quick that I wasn't like calculating like, oh, this is going to change my business or this or that. If anything, I was like, this could damage my business because I think like with weddings, it's like the day should be about the bride. And I feel like it could be distracting to have somebody from The Bachelor at your wedding, which I think there are times when I'm like that it has been distracting at weddings. And I'm like I've taken a big step back because I'm like, this doesn't always feel like good. And I want to like, I want the bride to feel celebrated and like there shouldn't be any attention off of her.
Right.
But in other ways, it's made my career like great. And I just think I was unaware of like how much money you could make in social media in general. Like I did think, oh, if I made it far, like surely my life would be different and like I could probably make some money doing this or whatever. But I don't think I knew that I could like be a full-time content creator doing social media. Yeah. And I was like shocked when I came off the show and like things started happening. I was like, whoa, like this is actually kind of crazy how much power and like financial freedom there is in content creation.
A feeling everyone listening to this has experienced is standing in front of the mirror, battling with your hair, and trying to tame the frizz before you head out. Meanwhile, you could be doing something more exciting, like booking a spontaneous getaway to, I don't know, the Caribbean or something, or binge-watching the Eras Tour like I did this weekend. That's where Way's new anti-frizz cream swoops in to save the day. You are too busy to be dealing with frizz, so say hello to Way's new anti-frizz cream. It is like a magic wand for your hair, which provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. And if we're going to talk about hair routine, incorporating Way's anti-frizz cream into mine has literally transformed my hair. It is a time-saving superhero that fits seamlessly into my routine. And can we talk about the Sydney-inspired North Bondi scent? It is like a mini vacation every time I use it and takes me back to Australia when I went this summer. Not to mention, my hair feels lighter and looks smoother than ever before. So get busy being frizz-free with Way's new anti-frizz cream. It's not just about taming frizz. It provides heat protection up to 450 degrees, it reduces and repairs split ends, and it quenches dry hair with intense hydration. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looked less frizzy after using it, so you gotta trust it. Don't forget to check out Way's other bestsellers, though, like the leave-in conditioner, their detox shampoo, which I use every time I wash my hair because I can go a long time without washing my hair, fragrances, and hair oils. They are all essential for achieving that salon-worthy look at home. So frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code REALREAL for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code REALREAL.
Yeah, I feel like so many people don't know about it because I've been doing content for like over a decade now. So I've been in it for so long. But I remember when I quit my job to do social media full time, it was 5 years ago. And that was still, it was before COVID when people were like, oh my God, like, what are you going to do? Like, that's not a real job. And I would get a lot of pushback from it. And I'm like, if only you knew like the money that there is in this, like, obviously you have to diversify and you have to, you know, do other things. And I'm not saying that you can rely on one social media channel and that's it forever. But like, you can make this into a business if you're smart about it. And there is a lot of money and a lot of opportunity.
Right.
I always say that it gives you a platform too.
Yeah.
Like it's the platform that you gain that's more valuable than just like the brand deal that you might get that year.
Totally.
Yeah. Because you can do like anything else afterwards.
Yeah. And there's so much like, I mean, Justin, my boyfriend, and I were just talking about this. Like we both feel like we came from corporate jobs and I came from like entertainment at Disney where like I was like, I couldn't, you can't say no to overtime.
Yeah.
Where it was just like, you just have to work. And especially in Japan, it's like, that's your life.
Mm-hmm.
So we both came from like places and worlds where we worked very hard, but we are like, I don't think there's ever been a time where I've worked harder for something, but it's also never like meant more because it's mm-hmm. our thing. Like it's our personal brand. So like us working late until like 11 o'clock last night on our laptops, although it does feel like you're sacrificing some elements of your life, you're also building something really special. And it is like the platform, it's the community, it's like getting to see something that you've created like come off the ground, which is really cool. And it's like there is a lot of freedom in it, even though it's a lot of hard work.
Totally.
But it's like we can do our job from almost anywhere.
Yeah.
And we get to travel, we get to have like unique experiences. There's just so much beauty to this industry in general. So, I mean, personally, I feel like grateful for
yeah
all of it. And it's, yeah, it's been really positive for me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think that that's one thing that, I mean, you obviously hear people say like, oh, people are just going on that show to like become influencers, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's necessarily the case for everyone, but also it is a good, when you do get off of it, like you should take advantage of it to grow
yeah.
your business. Because I think that's just like a smart move to
absolutely.
Do also.
I remember yeah. coming off the show and there was so much pressure of like, so while I was on the show, I remember it really like hurt my feelings. It sounds silly to say, but I was with Clayton, like I was with mm-hmm. The Bachelor. So we were dating and I've always been big on social media. Like I just think it's so fun. Like I've always
yeah.
posted a lot about my life. I was never making money with social media before, but like I've always liked to make funny videos. Like since I was a kid, like I was like making my friends act in short films. Like I was a film major. Like I'm a creative, quirky person that loves entertainment. So during the show, like I posted a lot and mm-hmm. like I had fun with it. And I remember seeing people say like, oh my God, she's campaigning so hard for Bachelorette. And I was like, and it hurt my feelings because I was like, I'm just being myself, first of all, and I'm with the guy.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not campaigning for anything. I'm just like having fun with this process. And like, to me, it sounds so, I know it sounds silly. So I'm like, it was hurtful to hear that because it's like.
No, it is though. Especially when you don't come from a, like before the show, it's not like you were getting hate
yeah.
online.
Oh yeah. I mean, it, well, coming from Miss USA, like there was some hate, but it was like, this sounds weird, but I'm like, it was more so like hate towards like my physical appearance,
mm-hmm.
which almost was easier to
yeah.
handle because I'm like, I don't care what you think about me. Like I'm so confident in who I am. I'm kind to people. I'm generous. I'm loving. I have like great family and friends. So I'm like, if you want to like talk about my looks, like say whatever you want. You're not
yeah.
going to affect me. Like you're not going to affect how I look at myself. But when people talk about your character or that you're like cringy online
mm-hmm.
or that you're like campaigning for the Bachelorette role, that to me like hurt more because I was like, oh, that's like a stab at my character.
Yeah.
And so when brand deals did start to come in, I actually didn't do them for, I think it was like a month and a half, 2 months, because I was like, I just like, I'm afraid, not afraid of what the internet's gonna think, but I was like, I don't want to seem too eager to like make money off this experience. And looking back, I'm like, I should have just
yeah,
jumped like, in. I'm like, screw the haters. Like,
yeah.
and not because of like, you know, needing more money or wanting more money, but more so like, if you, like anybody in the world, I'm always like, if you were thrown into that situation and you have the opportunity to like make money that would change your
yeah.
financial situation, would change your life, you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody that's going to like tear you down or judge you for taking the opportunities or the financial, like get, having a better financial situation, like that's not a person I would take advice from or like want in my life. Like I was working 3 jobs before going on the show and then coming off the show, like getting to be a creative, like,
yeah,
it's like the best opportunity of my life. And I didn't anticipate it or plan it, but like, because it's happening to me, I'm going to accept it and embrace it now. And I hate that I ever even thought about like,
mm-hmm.
oh my God, people are going to judge me for taking a brand deal.
I know. And even because I totally agree with you, whenever people make comments about looks or like,
mm-hmm.
oh, you're ugly or you've done this, whatever, I'm like, I literally don't care. Like
literally.
That means nothing to me. But when people say things about like who I am as a
yeah.
person, I'm like, oh my God, I hope that they don't think that. Like
me too.
Because I know, like you said, like, I know myself. I know the type of person that I am, and I know that I am a good person, and I know I have a great friend. Mm-hmm. And when people say that, it's like, you just want to defend yourself because you're like, that's not who I am. Like, don't think that about me. But I think that those people just want a reaction. And like, mm-hmm. I would love to meet them in person to see how they are in real life, right. Because you'll never see them behind a screen. But I've kind of like tried to train myself to be like, I don't even care what they think about that either. Mm-hmm. 'Cause like, I know who I am. Like, the people that meet me in real life know who I am. Mm-hmm. And that's what matters. But it's hard.
Yeah.
Especially like you said, like, yeah, you were judged on looks before, but like, this mm-hmm. is a whole new, I feel like, I mean, I haven't been on reality TV, but I feel like it's a whole new level of hate.
It really is. And it's like, I'm watching Joey's season right now, and I feel like people love to hate.
Yeah.
Like, people bond over being, like people say, like, misery loves company. Mm-hmm. People bond over like having a shared hatred. And a part of me like feels bad that I participated in a show where people like do that, because even people that I knew and loved on my season, like, received so much hate from people in the world because people bonded over being like, oh, she gives me the ick, or oh, she's like so insecure. And it's like, yeah. I say this on almost every podcast where I talk about the show. I'm like, everybody has been the villain at some point in their life. Like, and I say that being like, I think I'm like, so like, I think in relationships and in breakups and everything, I've always been so kind and considerate and like accepting, and like, I've never tried to be the villain, but I know I have.
Yeah.
Like, I have been the person that was like emotionally unavailable and not ready for a relationship, but couldn't verbalize it and stayed in the relationship and like probably damaged that person because I was just like too emotional or whatever. And it's like, I have been the villain before. Everyone's been the villain, but maybe mine just wasn't filmed. Mm-hmm. So like, it's sad sometimes when you see like what's happening on the show now. It's like, there are people that like definitely rub you the wrong way, and it's like frustrating to watch, but it's so sad when you see the internet just pile on.
I know.
It's like, these are human beings.
Yeah.
And everyone's made mistakes before. Like, everyone's been crappy in a relationship where you've like hurt somebody or just been hard to date. Like, mm-hmm. everyone's been there.
Yeah. And I think it's one thing to like, okay, you're talking and you're watching with your friends and you're like, oh my God, like, that's annoying, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's another thing to post it and to send it to someone.
So, tag like, the person. Yeah. Message them.
Like, that's a whole other level, because like, I know that people are not going to like me, and that's totally fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think everyone's going to like me in real life and online, but to go the extra length to like make a, like, say it and like
yeah.
message me or like tag me or make a post. It's like,
why?
Yeah. Keep it to yourself. Talk about me amongst your friends. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
but that's
hate on me from the comfort of your living room. Don't put it on the internet.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm like, wow, people just like have nothing better to do.
Yeah.
Than do that.
Absolutely. I feel like it's so funny, like that stereotype of people saying like, it's always the people with like the, you know, be kind yeah. or like a Bible verse yep. in their bio that, for me, like, it really is people like that. There's obviously like the faceless trolls and stuff yeah. like that, but it will be like middle-aged women with yes. children, with daughters that like will say the meanest stuff to me. And I honestly, a lot of times I'll comment back and like put whatever's in their bio and just like put that in my comment. And because I'm like, okay, your bio literally says like, be kind and like look for the good in people.
Yeah.
And you just said the most atrocious thing on my page. So yeah. like, all I can do is like, repeat your own words back to you and know that like, I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're a little DeLulu.
Exactly.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Do you watch the show differently now? Like, now that you've been on it, are you like, mm-hmm. oh, that was like a producer thing?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, that this editing was, you know, mm-hmm. made to look like XYZ? Like, how different is it living it? And then when you watch it back, were you like, wait, that didn't happen the way yeah. that I thought it did?
Yeah, I think I watch it with like a lot more compassion for people.
Mm-hmm.
I even watch like the few seasons I watched before going on. I remember feeling so much like, I don't know if the word would be hatred. I don't think I hate a single person, but like I felt so much like frustration and like anger towards some of the villains. Mm-hmm. And I would be like, I'd be like, how can you be so awful to another girl? Like, it's so crazy to me. And it is like, and I've experienced like women being mean to me before in my life. And like, I understand like that feeling. It's like, it's triggering for a lot of people. But now, like having been on the season where there was like, quote unquote, like one of the biggest villains of all time, whatever. Mm-hmm. She was a totally fine person, mm-hmm. but she was poked and prodded, like, in my opinion, behind the scenes. Like, a lot of what people said or did to her and things that happened, I feel like she was, like, isolated intentionally from the cast. And then people were like, she's not even, like, making an effort to spend time with us. And I was like, well, like, we all are not allowed to leave our rooms unless somebody comes to, like, get us from a hotel room. So, mm-hmm. like, it's very possible that nobody went to go get her to bring her down to eat at the same time as us because they don't want us to, like, mend this off camera. So, like, we don't know. Like, I remember, like, on the show seeing it happen and being like, yes, she's being a little bit irrational and mm-hmm. a little bit crazy right now. But also, like, a lot of the things that didn't air, like, probably contributed to, like, why she behaved the way that she did.
Totally.
So now I watch the seasons and, like, I do get frustrated watching girls not be kind to each other. Absolutely. But I also, like, watch with a lot more compassion where I'm like, you just don't know what was happening behind the scenes. And whether it was like the girls or the producers or whoever, or how it's being edited. So I think I watch with more compassion now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, I think I try to like look at things through like a comedic lens where I'm like, it was really hard when I went through it. Like I was going through it with Clayton, who was like struggling severely with his mental health during the show airing. And it was very dark at the time. But now, like looking back on my experience, I'm like, you know, it's like, life is too short, you know what I mean? And it's so much easier, like 2 years removed, that whenever I see people going through stuff on the show, I tend to like message them and I'm like, hey, like just letting you know, like it will get better.
It's going to pass.
It's going to pass, yeah.
Like every single old villain or drama, whatever, like people end up loving them at the end. Like it's like it does end up passing and mm-hmm. people forget about it.
Yeah.
But I think in the moment you think like, oh my God, my life is over.
Yeah.
Because like you're in the thick of it.
Yeah. The amount of like, I mean, I'm sure people with anxiety can understand, but like, and if, I don't know if you'll see this or not, but like I'm putting like my hands on my chest as if it's like insinuating like pressure, but like mm-hmm. the amount of like physical, like agony and pressure I felt at times when things were happening on the show and like waiting for the finale, because I knew people were going to like, half the people were going to hate me, half the people were going to love me based on like the ending of the show, like mm-hmm. being with Clayton. The depth and like the darkness I felt. Like it sounds so dramatic, but I'm like, it's so heavy. Like mm-hmm. it feels like the world is like looking at you and judging you. And it's like, I don't think humans are meant to feel that kind of like pain.
And we're not meant to be like hear this many opinions with this many people mm-hmm. about us. You know, I mean, I can't even talk compared to like being on national television. Like that's a whole different level of like eyes on you and pressure on you. And so I don't think humans are meant to experience that.
Like our brains, like one second you read a comment that's amazing about you, the next it's like somebody that absolutely hates you. And like, you just see like this vast, and you can't take any of it, like good or bad, and let it change how you see yourself.
Right.
But your brain is processing all these things and it's like highs and lows constantly.
How was it once you got off of the show, but it hadn't aired yet? So like that in between mm-hmm. when people didn't know who you were yet, you mm-hmm. know, or like maybe they did from the announcements that came out. But, you know, it wasn't like people knew because mm-hmm. filming wraps up by the time they announce who's on it, right?
Yes. Yeah. Filming wrapped in like November and then it aired in January.
Yeah. So like what was that, you know, November, December like? Mm-hmm. Like were you having anxiety about it? Was it still weird because like you're now not filming, but you're with, I mean, especially mm-hmm. for you, like you were with Clayton. So like was that something like that you guys, I don't know, was it like a good moment or anxious moment?
It was everything. Like I look back and I'm like, it was like we had a lot of joyous moments for sure. There mm-hmm. was like so much happiness in our relationship at times. We also were like navigating a new relationship that was pretty fimble, you know what I mean? Like we didn't come off the show and it wasn't like we came off the show and it was like we're this happy. Like we didn't get engaged at all. Like I was like very much like, I do not want to get engaged. Like I'm happy to give this a try in the real world. So there was like a lot of joy, but there was also a lot of like you know, navigating a new relationship that was now long distance. We'd see each other every few weeks. But yeah, the anxiety in between was pretty heavy for me. But I will say, like, I think that Clayton had it much worse. And so
just being the lead?
I think being the lead, but he was also like not received well. Like people didn't want him as the bachelor. Some people did. I shouldn't say people didn't want him, but there was like a handful of people that did. But he like talks about this openly where it was like, he still is like, he's like, I don't know why I was picked. Like there were like other people that had made it further that were like fan favorites. And so like, I think it's really hard to be picked as the lead. And then everyone's like, we didn't want him. Mm-hmm. Like, that's so hurtful.
Yeah.
And then for that to stem into his season where people were just like anti-Clayton. Mm-hmm. And then he had a tumultuous season as far as like what happened at the very end with me and the other women that were there. Like people just like were looking for a reason to hate him. And then he gave them one, even though it's not actually a reason. But he kind of like, you know, it just was like a bad setup. So I think that time period in between, he was going through like so much mentally. And I think that I really like focused on like being there for him. And it wasn't until like 6 months after the show where I was like, oh my God, like I'm in a mental health crisis. And I've been in one, but I haven't done anything. Like I was going to therapy and like talking about everything. But like I just hadn't, I think I would always talk about my relationship with him and talk about navigating like the struggles of the show and stuff like that. And then eventually I was like, I have not done a single thing for myself, like to take care of myself. I remember meeting with my management team that I like agreed to sign with. And they were like, what do you want to do with all this? And I was like, I haven't even thought about myself for a second in the last 6 months. Like I've just been in survival mode. So there were 1000% highs and lows and good and bad. But there was like this ominous like mental health situation that I'm still like working my way out of. And like when I realize like what's really going on, I'm like, oh, I'm still like processing and like working through things now. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't know. I feel like I'm always just a very optimistic person. I'm like, I'm totally fine. Like everything's great. But like, I wasn't aware of what was going on in my brain for a long time, I think.
Yeah. After you get off, are there like resources, like mental health resources that they put you in contact with or like give you that option? Or is it kind of just like, okay,
I think
goodbye.
It's definitely goodbye. Well, that's not true. They have like a psychologist, I think, that works on the show. So like they would send them in to make sure everyone was like doing okay every once in a while. So I think I met with them like twice during the season, like everybody did. And then you could talk to them whenever you wanted to. But unless you ask, you're not going to like be sent help.
Right.
So even post show, Clayton and I both were like, we think we need to like use whatever resources you guys have. So like they did set us up with couples counseling to like help us and then also individual counseling, which was like pretty crucial, I think, for anybody. I honestly think if you're going on the show, like get into some type of counseling immediately.
Yeah.
Because it was very beneficial.
Yeah. No, that makes, I feel like it's something that you can't even like prepare yourself because so many or so little people really know what you're going through.
Yeah.
Like it's you and the person and then like the girls in your season. But
yeah,
there's not that many people in the world that like have gone through this. So I feel like that's why when people say like Bachelor Nation is like very close, I feel like it's close because you guys are the only ones that really fully understand what you've been through.
It's so true. And even for me, I felt really isolated from like the girls because and from everybody, from my family too, to be honest. Like I told my parents what happened. And I told two of my best friends what happened. I didn't tell my sister. I didn't tell my brother because I was so afraid. Like the way my producer was like talking to me post show, it was like, if this gets out, because they were like, this is the craziest ending ever. And they're like, if this gets out, we will investigate like who leaked it. And there's like, you know, fines. It's like thousands of dollars of fines of like, if it gets leaked. And at the time I was like, I'm literally going back to my job as a waitress, like post show, like my weddings don't start till March. Like, I had a full year booked of weddings, but I was like between November and March, I didn't have a single wedding. So I was like, I'm literally like a waitress, right? In my off season. I was like, I don't have $20,000 to like send to you if something gets leaked. So I told my four people and I didn't tell anybody else. So like anything that I was like going through, I felt like I didn't have anyone to talk to.
Yeah.
And even the girls from my season, I'm like, nobody really knew what happened at the end.
Yeah, because you can't tell them if they were gone already.
Yeah.
Like if they had left earlier, you can't be like,
exactly.
Oh, I'm the one that, you know, and, was picked. Yeah.
And unfortunately, I had a call with a friend from my season, which I know was like positive intentions, but even the girls from my season, like, disliked Clayton so much. Like after they got eliminated, they felt like spiteful or like him keeping the villain too long. Like they were like, he was like, they would say like really nasty things about him. And nobody knew I was with him. And I remember one girl calling me and being like, just like we were catching up, whatever. And she was like kind of prying for what happened at the end. And I felt like a bad friend. So I was like, I really can't tell you. Cause I'm like, I'm not even telling my siblings. Like, no way I'm going to tell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, a friend, but a friend I met on the show. Like, I was so afraid of getting sued. But I remember feeling after that phone call, I was like, I feel like I can't really like pursue these friendships because, like, of course they want to know. And I don't blame them, but I'm like, I don't know how to like handle this. And so, like, I felt like so alienated and so alone that whole time. Like, I just felt like I didn't have many people. Mm-hmm. Like, not that that's anybody's fault. It was just like a fear from where I was like positioned.
That's so hard because I wouldn't even think about, you know, the other girls not knowing or like not even telling your siblings. Like, that's crazy. Like, I'm sure that they probably wanted to know, like, hey, is my sister engaged?
I remember my brother.
What's going on?
My brother called me. My brother ended up telling me not to tell him because he knew he couldn't not tell his wife, and he was like, my wife will tell everybody.
Okay.
He was like, don't tell me because like it, like I won't be able to not tell her. And I remember at one point he called me and I was with Clayton. We were like secretly visiting each other and like staying in an Airbnb, and my brother was joking so hard on Clayton, like kind of making fun of him. He was like, saw a preview and like Clayton's crying and saying that he's so broken, and like my brother was like literally impersonating him, and I was on speakerphone and I was like, I was like, oh my God. And we got off the phone and Clayton thought it was the funniest thing. And like they became great friends and stuff like that. So there was no like animosity.
Yeah.
But it was so funny because I'm like, my brother really like did not think it was me. Like he just thought it was he was like, I knew you made it far because you were gone a long time. But
yeah.
Like he did not know that I was with them.
So during the show, you can't talk, you can't film, or mm-mm. you can't like text, you don't have your phones or anything? Or mm-mm. is there any like phone time or no? Like you just mm-mm. don't have it at all?
You don't have any phone time at all. Yeah. So like 2 months I went without a phone. I actually kind of liked it.
That's what everyone says.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's actually kind of nice after a while. I'm just like, wow, you must be really bored. Or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess, are you? Or are
no.
you?
No. I think it's such a great social experiment, but I personally think that's why you get so close to people mm-hmm. on your season, which was kind of hard because I think being with Clayton, like, unfortunately did alienate me from a lot of the friendships I made. But when I was on the show, like when we were all sitting around on the couch, like nobody had their phone.
Yeah.
So like late into the night when we had to stay up, we were all talking. So it's like, that's why you get so close to people because nobody's scrolling on their phone. Nobody's like checking Instagram. Like nobody's doing anything besides being present in the moment.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a beautiful thing. And I think that's why everyone's so close coming off the season. It's truly like quality time together.
Yeah. I think that definitely plays a part in it.
And yeah.
I think I always wonder though, like is it like a hard adjustment to go with like no contact? And
it was weird, mostly for my family, like for me with my family though, because my niece had just been born. So like I would have loved to have like FaceTimed her, like even she can't say anything, but you know, I would have loved to have like been able to spend more like FaceTime with her. My parents, like I pretty much talk to them like every couple of days. And if not, I text them, like I speak pretty regularly with them. So that was a hard adjustment. But other than that, like as far as social media goes, like I didn't feel any kind of like attachment or anything. Like I think maybe now I would because I'm like so much more involved with social media and like my career is there. It's like work. But at the time I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Like it was fun.
How long is filming? How long are you gone?
I think it was 2 months.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not too long. I mean, kind of a long time. But you got off the show. You guys were together. Then you ended up breaking up. And now you're also in a... You announced your relationship with Justin, who was also in another season. Were you nervous of going like public with another relationship, or did you have a tough, like, did you want to be in another public relationship, or did you know that that's kind of like, no matter who you're with, is probably going to be public because your job is on the internet?
So I actually had a boyfriend over the summer that was like just worked in, he actually works in production, not in the show, but like mm-hmm. he works in for like a different studio and just like, I don't know what he would be considered, a creative director, I guess. Mm-hmm. So he just like had a normal job, private on Instagram. And I would like post about him, but I never like announced like how it's weird because Justin and I are both like quote unquote public figures. So yeah. we did like announce that we were together, where with that other guy, I just would like, you know, post with him. Yeah. I feel like it was way more normal. And we didn't end up obviously working out because me and Justin are not together. But I was nervous. I was nervous. And I think I'm still even like processing and navigating because Justin and I, like, it's good, but we've had like brand deals together yeah. now because people, like, we were posting as friends for so long.
Right.
And we would do funny skits together and we kind of like played into the like, are they dating? Aren't they dating? Like, not actually teasing it, but we were like doing funny bits. Like,
yeah, at that point, you were not dating.
No, exactly. Yeah. We like weren't dating. And Andrew, when he was living in LA, we were all three doing like funny skits about like two friends liking the same girl or whatever. Like, we were just like kind of leaning into our comedy era. And brands started to like notice it and reach out. And so, even before we were dating, I think we got a brand deal together. That was like, it was like fun. It's like you're working, it's like a coworker, you're collaborative, yeah. it's a creative project. It's like such a fun way to make money. But now as a couple, like we have had brand deals come through as a couple. And there's something like, it's like this, it's just this weird thing where we're both like, obviously we're going to say yes. Like it's yeah. good money. We're pursuing content creation and like we're doing this. So like we're going to say yes to this. And it would be foolish to be like, oh no, we're not going to take any brand deals that like are monetizing based essentially off our relationship.
Totally.
But yeah. in your brain, you're like, this is not normal. You right. know, it's like a weird thing to navigate. Like,
and now you're kind of like coworkers yes. in a sense with yeah. your boyfriend. Yeah.
It's really weird. And I think that like I've seen this crash and burn before on other, like in other ways, like YouTubers that were like really close. Like I think of like David Dobrik and Liza Koshy. Oh, yeah. Is that her name?
Yep.
Like they were like an internet couple and people loved them. And then they went through a breakup and it was tumultuous. And it's like, I don't know if they broke up because of the internet or because of like, you know, what happened, but I'm like, it is like sticky territory. So I'm like in this place where I'm like, I'm obviously not going to say no, but I think that he and I, like we have to navigate that part of our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to, I think the ultimate thing is that we want to like protect our relationship and like set boundaries where we need to set boundaries to like make sure that we're focusing on like the relationship versus like the work.
Yeah.
You know,
I think because you know that going into it mm-hmm. and like you guys were already making content together before mm-hmm. you were even dating and you're going into it being like, okay, we're not gonna, you know, let this kind of like make our relationship only for you. Or you know how yes. some people like, I feel like some people stay in relationships because it's like for views. Like, right. Oh, well, the views are there. So like we have to stick to it or it'll That's get like to the point.
My nightmare.
Yeah. Or you'll get to the point where it's like, are they doing this for me or are they mm-hmm. doing this because there's a camera and it like is going to get a lot of likes.
Yeah.
Like surprising my girlfriend with a bunch of flowers. And right. it's like, okay, was that for content or was that because you actually wanted to right. find flowers?
I so agree.
I think you knowing that ahead of time and like going into a relationship being like, okay, we're not going to let that happen
mm-hmm.
is already like 20 steps ahead of people who kind of fall into it accidentally.
Yeah.
Because it's just like presented to them and they don't know how to handle it, where you're already like, you've both been in the public eye before. Mm-hmm. So it's not like this whole new thing for you guys.
That's true. And I hope that's accurate. As like I hope we can navigate it and we have like enough understanding to be able to navigate it. But yeah, I'm like, I never ever want to be in any type of, like, I remember coming off my relationship with Clayton and being like, I'm never going to be in a public relationship again.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm only going to date non-entertainment industry people. Well, entertainment's fine, but like I'm not going to date somebody in like a public figure, yeah. anything like that, because I don't ever want my relationship to be like, I remember saying that, like, I never want my relationship to be monetized or like to play a part in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Like I want to stand on my own. And now here I am in a relationship with a public figure. But I think that we love each other so much that I was like, there's no way that this wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no way that we weren't going to like fall in love and date in yeah. my brain. I'm like, we just looking back now, I'm like, we were so close, such good friends that it's like, it would be silly to be like, no, let's stay only friends so yeah. that we can keep working together and making money separately. Where like now it's like, we were already doing this, but now we're just doing it actually dating.
Yeah.
So
was there a moment when you guys were friends where you were like, we're more like, was there like one mm-hmm. moment, or was it there like a slow build of being like, oh, wait, we actually like each other and want to pursue this?
That's a good question. I feel like there was definitely a slow build because we were friends for almost exactly a year before anything ever happened. It was like 11 months. And like Justin has said, like there was a time where he was like, oh, I kind of had a crush on you, like after I first met you and like thought you were so sweet and like you were cute and this and that. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I definitely like thought you were attractive and like charming and funny, but like I was just like a friend, like with everybody. And we all had just moved to LA. So it was like nobody was dating, like we were all dating other people, mm-hmm. but nobody was dating each other. So it was just, I think it was like a slow, like accumulation of like spending a lot of quality time together, but there really was no like funny business until there was a moment. It was in Vegas, like a month probably before we started dating. We were just like drinking and there was a chocolate strawberry and we both took a bite of it at the same time. And I really like, it's so funny, but I'm like, I really think that was the moment where we both were like, that was kind of flirty. Yeah.
Like it was, like I wouldn't do that with my guy friend.
I wouldn't do that with the guy friend. And like, it was definitely like a moment where I was like, oh, that's like not normal.
Yeah.
And then it was like 2 weeks after that where he like sat down with me and like basically said how much he cares about me and that he would want to be more than friends, but he didn't. Like he was like, it was like no pressure. He was like, I like you. I want to see what this is. But like, if you just want to stay friends, I respect it.
Yeah. That must be such a hard conversation to have just because it's like, you could make the friendship like pretty awkward, you know? So
it was definitely risky.
Yeah.
I think we both, it was like ever since that moment in Vegas, I feel like our relationship was more flirty.
Yeah.
And so I think like we both like knew it was coming, but I respect the fact that he was like so, I guess like forward, but also, what's the word? Respectful.
Yeah.
Because he was truly like, I promise if you don't want to be anything but friends, totally fine. And like, I will pretend like this never happened kind of a thing. But I was like, no, like, I like you. So it worked out.
Yeah. That's really sweet also. Mm-hmm. And it's cool to see, because like you said, like, yes, you make content together and stuff, but people had seen your progression from like friends to actually dating. And so I think it's not something that like came out of left field for anyone. Right. And even if it did, who cares?
Yeah.
But I feel like a lot of people kind of expected it.
Mm-hmm.
When you were just friends and people were making those comments, though, did it ever like pop in your head like, maybe? Or were you like, oh, these people are just kind of making comments about
honestly,
it?
Honestly, I don't think I ever thought like, oh my gosh, these people are crazy.
Like, yeah.
I think I was like, this makes sense. Like, this is funny that... Like, obviously, I'm spending so much time with Justin, like, especially after Andrew left LA, because it was kind of the three of us for a long time. And then after Andrew left, it was still just me and Justin. And we were still just like doing the same stuff that we were doing when Andrew was here. So like, it really does make sense. Like, I look back and I'm like, yeah, I would have assumed we were dating too.
Yeah.
And actually, it's so funny. Well, this is like a whole other topic, but it's funny because there was a time in which I think people really did think we were dating and we really weren't. Like, nothing had happened, but it was so weird. Like, it really is a whole other subject, but I saw we had posted this funny video where it was like, and it wasn't true, but we were like, if you two are just friends, then why do you share the same dessert spoon? Which we didn't,
yeah.
But it was just like a funny TikTok video that we did. And it was, in my opinion, really funny. And it kind of like popped off and did really well. And after that video, like so many girls like flooded his DMs. And I was like, this is so weird that you're like, like not announcing your intimacy, but you were like posting, like hinting that you were maybe in a relationship. And so many people
now are DMing.
It was the weirdest thing. It really like shook me a little bit, not even with him, but I was just like, in general with like, I was like, where's the girl code? You know what I mean? Cause I'm like,
there's not.
It really shook me. I was really like, oh my God, like, what's gonna happen if I ever did announce or was dating a guy on Instagram? Are people gonna like flood to his messages?
Have they, when you actually did announce it?
I don't know. If they did, like, he never told me, which is probably for the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I feel like that would be like kind of just like sickening to me. I feel like, cause even when that happened, I was like, it was just so shocking. I was like, wait, why wouldn't women want to be like if I saw that, I'd be like, oh, I'm never going to speak to this person again. They don't exist to me.
Yeah.
You don't exist to me anymore. Like you were, but I don't know. So if it did happen, he didn't tell me.
That is actually crazy though, that people do that.
Isn't that weird?
It's just so, I think people view it as like a competition.
Yeah.
And it's so mean. Like it's honestly so just mean. And I think it's like, oh, well, he's in a relationship, but he DM'd me. Like when they're like famous or a public figure, like it's like a sense of pride, you know? Like I feel like the same thing happens with even like athletes. Like when athletes are known to be, you know, in relationships, like people will DM them.
People don't care
all the time. They literally don't care. It's like, oh, look who DM'd me. And I'm like, he's married.
Yeah. That's like, something to brag about.
Yeah. Like that's embarrassing.
That's
actually
embarrassing for everybody involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks. But no, I loved seeing, you know, your journey from like The Bachelor to, and also just the fact that you had so many other careers and jobs and like you've worn so many different hats. I feel like it's really inspiring to a lot of people that have watched the show and that follow you on social media.
Thanks.
Because you do have your own thing also, you know?
And
you've been in film, you've been in the entertainment industry, like creative industry, and now you're actually getting to do it on like your own terms, which I think is really cool.
Thanks so much. Yeah, I feel really grateful that it does feel kind of full circle. Like I feel like I've always been like entertainment adjacent or like entertainment in the world of entertainment, but never like in this position. So it is really like, it's really been fun to be not only a creative, but also like have my own like thing as a creative. So it's been, I feel really lucky.
Yeah. And you can tell like how grateful you are about the experience. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I do think some people, which everyone has their own experience, so I'm not going to knock you if you're not grateful for it.
Yeah.
Because who knows like what happened or anything. But I do think there's some people, not even on the show, but just in general, that aren't, you can tell they're kind of like taking advantage of the opportunity in front of them. And I feel like you are like, you're super grateful and you're very like down to earth. So
thank you.
Anyone watching. Like, I think it's super cool. And I'm really happy for you and Justin too.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So where can they find you? Where can they follow you? Like shout yourself out.
Okay. So I have Instagram. It's Suzy C. Evans. My TikTok is Suzy Was Like. And then on YouTube, I've kind of been trying to get more into YouTube. It's Suzy Was Like as well, SUSIE.
Perfect. Yeah, you got to get into like the YouTube blogs. I do YouTube and like I think long form content is coming back.
Okay, I do too.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. Like even this podcast, like I've started to only do in-person podcasts now because I want to put them on YouTube. I think they're doing, like it's doing a lot better.
Interesting. So. Okay, we're going to have to chat about the long form.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of The Real Real. I hope that you enjoyed, and don't forget to rate, review, follow, or subscribe on your favorite podcast app. You can follow me personally on Instagram at Natalie Barbu and the podcast at The Real Real Podcast. I'll see you next Monday.
Hey there, my name is Renee Rina, and I am the mom friend you have always wanted. I am also the host of the Mom Room podcast. We publish 2 episodes per week, a co-hosted episode on Tuesdays and a solo episode on Thursdays. Popular topics include pooping and having sex after giving birth. I have a solo episode where I talk about not sharing a bed with my husband and why that's okay. I hope you'll tune in to these conversations every week. Join us on Instagram at the Mom Room podcast. Podcast and start to feel a little less alone in this crazy thing called motherhood.